Hey, hey everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Ms. Michi 101, where each week I bring you an influential entrepreneur that you should know. This week, I have special guest Asada Moore joining me. Hey Asada, how are you?
Hey Ms. Michi, how are you?
I'm excited to talk to you today because we get to talk about something that affects everybody, okay?
I'm excited to be here.
Yes, absolutely. So for those that are just joining in, if you don't know, Asada Moore, she is a wealth educator, speaker, and the owner of Entrevest. Did I say it correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, perfect. So Asada, can you talk to me a little bit about how you got started on your entrepreneurial journey?
Absolutely. But first, let me, you know, give a big thank you to you and the important work that you doing, a skill set that you bring. That studio is rocking, and it's fantastic and important work. My entrepreneurship journey actually the thinking of it started when I was about 18 or 19. I started volunteering at an African Center charter school, eventually started teaching there, and it put me on a path to become a high school principal. But during that time when I was working with students, and it's of particular note to mention that they were young Black students in Lansing, Michigan, I helped them to start a store. And they did a feasibility study, and they did all of this type of stuff, and they started selling products. We raised they earned like $10,000. We started doing stocks trading and different things like that. I saw the power of wealth building, because we ended up taking those students to Egypt. As middle school students, we went to Egypt to study the mathematics of the pyramid. And I just continually stayed on that path, continued learning. We invested in stocks. They started a stock market, a little stock club. We started investing in stocks. We bought this company, Siebel, for $40. It ended up going to $180. And so in essence, what I was looking for is, how do we solve the problems that our people are going through? And the conclusion I came to was with education and wealth building.
Yeah. You know, I find that when I look back on my experience, I went to school all the way through getting my bachelor's in, you know, in college. And there were no curriculum or just classes or courses that we could take, even as electives, that would kind of show you the power of money management and wealth building. Like, we didn't have anything like that.
What's so crazy is that they still don't. I was in school, I look back 30, I just did this the other day. There's a young student I was helping, and she's making $10 an hour, which is what I was making at 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
However, expenses have gone up like crazy. Right. And then we want to ask, what's wrong with people? People lazy, why are they doing this? No, that's not what it is. And so we're still learning the thing. Why are we still learning geometry? When was the last time you used geometry?
I have not used it as an adult.
what has Shakespeare done for you? Right?
Right.
I mean, I still go through that same curriculum.
Yeah.
And so there's no progress there. We're not preparing them to build wealth. And when I was a principal, I gave them a proposal. I said, hey, I want to eliminate geometry. Mm-hmm. And instead, I want to incorporate a wealth building class. And what we'll do is we'll use part of the per pupil funds, because each student, we get paid per student, right?
Right.
And I say, what we'll do is we'll use part of their, what they get per pupil from the state, and we'll start buying properties. I'll use that class to teach them how to invest in real estate. They can then sell the class, the property to a parent. And then we'll have parents that'll start to live into the community. Right. Plus the children will be able to make money, and every senior class gets to split the profits, and they leave a percentage back to the next class so that they could then. So think about all the concepts in that: giving back, building community with family, blah, blah, blah. They shut it down.
Did they like not even consider it, or what?
There were so many different responses. It was so many different excuses. Oh, insurance. Oh, this. Oh, that. And I had one wealthy board member tell me, because stocks was a part of, like, that which they were too, that was too advanced for them.
And it's crazy that they would think like that, because literally as soon as you graduate from high school, as you're going into college, you get ready for that. These are the things that you see pop up. I mean, if you don't know anything, I know so many of my friends aside of that, they, when we went off to college, they signed up for a credit card for a free pizza, you know.
And I did that for a Kit Kat bar.
You, and
I remember, right.
it sets them up so bad because they didn't know that, okay, you know what, if you're doing this, let's talk about interest rates. Let's talk about these things. It's so important. Absolutely. And I'm really surprised that they shot it down like that. That's horrible.
You'd be surprised the number of forward-thinking ideas that we can do for, what city are you in?
So I stay in University Park in Illinois.
You're in Illinois. So you know what it's like here in Chicago. So I'm speaking of Chicago. So I've given people ideas. I just posted earlier about, you know, I went to these rich folks, multimillionaire Black people in Chicago. It was like, hey, each one of you all, if you all would give $150K, it's nothing to a multimillionaire.
Right.
I think to a young Black man that I will work with, I would do all of the work. I would teach them how to invest. They would give you back your $150K with no interest, just give you back.
Right.
And then they will take their profits and I will continue to show them how to build wealth with their profits.
Exactly.
Well, what, you know, are we going to do drug tests? What about if they had a record? What does any of that? I'm not asking you to do the work. I'm going to be the one to engage with these young men.
Right.
And I say young men between the ages of about 18 to 25 that didn't go to college route. Maybe they've gotten into some little trouble, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I know that if I'm able to meet with them on a regular basis, teach them how to build wealth, that in 3 years I could put them on a path. There were a couple of conditions that I wanted, that if they had children, they had to make sure that they were involved in their children's life and providing for them.
Absolutely.
And that they had to, that they would take a class from me once a month, about a 2-hour class where I would go over their history, the importance of their history, family values, and building wealth.
Okay.
And then after that period of time, eventually after 3 years, when they're done with my classes, they will become teachers and do the same thing that I did in order to give back.
Absolutely.
People are going to get their money back.
Yeah. And they would get it back without any issues. You know, it's the work that you're doing, you know, and the, I mean, you said you've been doing it since you were 18. It's so important because we don't have any leaders that are stepping up and saying, you know what?
Not as many. We have some. There are some people that's doing, and we do different things because the work that you're doing is important, right?
Right.
You have skill sets and talents that I don't have. So we need someone like you. And then I do what I do in there. It's not enough of us. It's too few of us.
That's right.
Crawl into our own little caves and be like, forget it.
Right. Yeah. We need more people that's behind the cause. Oh my goodness. So now let me ask, with all of those things kind of happening, is that what led you to launch the Entrevest?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so I was a teacher and a principal for the longest. Okay. And then, you know, I'm always asking, like, why are these issues? And I'm the type of, you know, I used to tell my teachers, we had a saying, we don't complain, we deal with it.
That's
right. I didn't want to hear them talking about, well, these kids are coming in here and they're 3 years behind, and if these kids learn their multiplication tables the way that they learn rap songs, then teach their multiplication tables like a rap song.
Exactly.
If they come in 3 years behind, then what's your plan to get them on track? I don't want to hear that nonsense. And so I was always in a problem-solving mode. And the more I looked at the issues, most we talk about our parents. I'm a principal. I've had to deal with parents more than anyone else that has to deal with parents, right?
Yeah.
Because I deal with parents that are really upset. Most parents want their children to succeed.
That's right.
There are so many obstacles in front of parents. And so when we're complaining about them not showing up for conferences, have we thought about that? Maybe they have other children at home. Maybe they can't get a babysitter. Maybe they have to work. Maybe this happened. Maybe they don't have a car. Like, have we looked at all of those things? And so when I addressed that question, we took our parent participation from 25% to 97%.
Wow.
Because we asked, I don't complain. Instead, I said, how do we get 100% participation?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, because I mean,
we started troubleshooting to get to that point, and we got to 97%.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine. I mean, I know I can even remember my time in school. You know, both of my parents worked. You know, things could be a little bit difficult sometimes to kind of, how do we get into, you know, to the parent? And now, you know, we're in such advanced time, so you could do a virtual conference or something like that.
Right. And we did simple things. I would so our conferences were usually on a Wednesday night, and I would just do all day. Right. So instead of doing like an evening, something like that, parents work at different times. So give them a longer window. That was one thing. Change the time.
Right.
Number two, I would get on the send everyone, hey, at this time, all students pull out your cell phone, text your parent, remind them to come to conferences.
Okay. Okay.
Then I do things like this. If your daddy come to conference, you get 100 additional points in your college class or whatever the class was. If okay. if your mom come to conference, you get additional 50 points. If right. both parents come, then you get an additional 200 points, right?
Right.
They're like, why you put more value on a daddy? Because men rarely show up. Usually they put the work on a mom. We want to see more dads out, right?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
The kids want the extra points. So our conferences used to be packed. And then I started ordering food. I set up a babysitting room, a little fun playroom where kids can get on the computer. We would serve ice cream. Then we would do tea and coffee with the principal where they can sit and talk with me.
Right.
And so it turned into an event. I had one teacher, one of my counselors, she would do yoga classes, and it was, are you ready to strangle your child because of their grades? Take yoga instead.
Like up, down the hall.
So we turned it into, instead of complaining about parents, we turned it into where we solved the problem, and we turned it into something nice and fun that we could look forward to. And then I kept my teachers happy because we would do this during the Thanksgiving break. Typically right. what happened, people are go home Wednesday for Thanksgiving break.
Yeah,
I would let all of my teachers have the whole week off, and the administrators would run the school by themselves.
So you should have been running
our week off. Right.
We needed you at our district out here. I think you would have been amazing out here because I felt like when we were in school, it had got to a point where we were like, okay, well, we know that none of this is going to benefit us outside of this school here. You know what I'm saying? So it's really great to hear about some different innovative ways. Like just with your class now, look, shop that to another district.
Yeah.
they need it. I'm pretty sure somebody will be able to, you know, really take advantage of the good that comes.
Absolutely. And I'm looking to get more out there because at first, I'm gonna be honest with you, I took a couple of years. I was like, whew, I'm done.
Yeah.
you know, the people like, nah, you ain't done. Well, so yeah.
You wrote a book.
Yes.
Talk to me about your book. Look, I'm gonna let you say the title and everything. I'm gonna let you go ahead and put it out.
Oh yes, the title is Get Your Shit Together.
Yes.
Because I tackle problems from both, you know, we do have a system that is against us, no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
At the same time, there are things that we can do as individuals. So you have to make sure that you're doing your part and you fight, okay?
That's right.
And so we get your shit together. What it is that, you know, we are a very smart people, and not just Black people, all people.
All people.
Because poverty is a huge thing for everyone in this country. Not having enough to make it is a thing for everyone in this country. And so if we start focusing on have a plan, starting with our mindset, getting healthy with our mindset, because that's important. Health is important. People, you know, your health and your mental health and other people is more important than money.
That's right.
You get those things in place first, and then you start working on your credit, your savings, what you're doing with your 401k, investing in real estate, investing in gold, investing in art, investing in cryptocurrency, and start laying out a plan. I was born into projects.
Okay.
I didn't go to private school. I then went to Michigan State. I'm in Chicago. I still live in the hood because I chose to.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can do it, anyone can do it. There are people that are in jail that are much smarter than I am. Okay. The difference between me and those we've made different choices in most cases. Okay.
Right.
And
right.
So the book, you know, Get Your Shit Together is helping people to start wherever they're at and be able to build success and to build wealth for themselves, their families, and their communities.
Can I ask you, I mean, you know, you've been doing this work for some time. You know, what do you think the disconnect is specifically within our brown communities, you know, where, you know, maybe it's not on the forefront of their mind to seek out the education that they need to, you know, become a little bit more knowledgeable? What do you think that is the problem there?
Yeah, one of the things is that we don't necessarily have, people call it an achievement gap. They call it a wealth gap. It's really a belief gap.
Right.
And so imagine growing up where all of the images that you see, the things that you hear on TV, everything tells you that you're not worthy, subliminally.
Right.
And you start to internalize that.
Yeah.
And then you really don't see a clear path out.
Right.
Okay. So you don't get it from families, because we have families. If we go back, okay, we're of the age, you know, in the 30, 40 range, which means that we grew up from the children that were victims of the drug culture in the 70s and 80s.
Correct.
Grandparents to the ones that had just came from slavery that were used to getting beat in the middle, mental trauma with that. We're only a few grandparents away from slavery. So the trauma is real. And we don't have any coping mechanisms. We don't have access. We just said the educational system is still what it is. So you don't get it at home. When you go to school, you're learning about everyone else's culture. You have your esteem and the way that you believe in yourself is not happening. From the simple fact that you're learning about everyone else's culture other than your own.
That's true.
Right. You learn about Pythagoras, but they don't tell you that the Pythagorean theorem actually comes out of Egypt, because in the King's Chamber and the Great Pyramids, those dimensions are that of a 3-4-5 triangle, thousands of years before Pythagoras came along. They don't tell you that mathematics started with a black woman out of Central Africa in the Lebombo Mountains, because they found the bone with the markings on it that showed that she was tracking her period against the lunar calendar over 40,000 years ago.
My Lord.
So think about all the stuff that is missing in our curriculum.
It is.
And that's not addressing, because when you're a white student sitting in a classroom, you're constantly told that you're great.
Right.
You're constantly told that you study British literature. Right. You study Irish literature and everything and how you all were heroes. And what do they tell us? We were slaves. And then they show us people like Martin Luther King instead of Malcolm X, because they're teaching us to be obedient. To accept it and to be obedient.
Yes. A word. A word. Yeah. Real quick.
And then what do the black people do that make it? We then look down on them and ask them, why don't y'all just get y'all shit together without giving them a path on how to do it?
Mm. That's true.
And run from them, are afraid to deal with them.
I think that we've seen that. You know, you'll see some people that they'll reach a certain level of status and it's almost like, I don't need to look back. And it's like, you made it so that you could look back and you can do what you need to do so that we could pull everybody else to the next level too.
And I get that. That's easy to do. I had to check my ego when I got to a certain point, when I got to six figures and I'm driving my new car, right? I just got my promotion. I'm driving down 76th Street and I see my aunt laying in the alley with her legs up on a egg crate. That humbled me real quickly. And so then I started thinking, because I wanted me a condo downtown.
Right.
I wanted the doorman, I want the whole shebang, walk outside to restaurants. You know, I wanted to be fly. Hi, how are you doing? And all that. And then I had to think about it. If I make that move, I'm probably gonna forget the mission. And so let's just be honest about that.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna be honest with myself, like, no, you're not ready to do that, to go downtown, because how easy is it to do? Come home, have my tea, chill out. The doorman lets me up, looking outside at my nice view. And then I may start thinking like, oh, they just need to do what I did.
Right, right. But see, the difference is you're giving them kind of like that foundation of what they can do, so that if that is a goal for them, they can do that. And I do think that that's the difference. You know, I mean, you're still putting in the work and you're still going within a community. So look, you're going to get down there one day. They still need you on this side.
I think I should be able to get down there at some point.
So, you know, you also, you know, you're a speaker as well. You know, can you tell me about like maybe some of the times that you spoke and you just like the audience, they were just feeling everything that you were telling them?
Man, you know what? Especially when I'm dealing with a lot of young folks, I get real graphic and get straight to it. And so when I'm on college campuses, the young people get hype, especially when I'm talking about things like with sex. And, you know, I'll hit them with like, hey, she yelling and screaming and telling you the best that she ever had. She said that last time. Okay.
Now, you better be real and let them know.
Right. So, right. So while you're walking around here thinking that you Dexter, right? You know, like trust and believe that this is a short time frame.
That's right.
Put it together. This is also the time that you should have fun, but you should be preparing and moving forward for your future as well.
That's
right. And be careful with who it is that you lay down with, because the biggest mistake that you can make in your life and the first way that you disrespect your child is by who you choose to lay down and have a child with. And if you're
not ready for that, they're not ready for that.
And so if you know that you're laying down with someone that is a piece of you know, then that means that you're intentionally putting that on your child.
Ooh, you know, I want to know, because we recently started to follow each other on social media. And, you know, do you ever, in your time where you're building people up, do you feel like that they, because you posted something, we won't talk about the post, y'all have to go and follow her if you want to know. But I felt like that they were just responding in a way, you know, it's like, why don't people like to hear the truth?
Yeah, they don't like to. Yeah, you know, I guess it hurts, right? You know, I guess it hurts, especially if you haven't, I'll say this, if you haven't built up your self-esteem, right? If you haven't built yourself up to accept the truth about yourself.
That's right.
I'm the type, I can accept the truth about myself. I can listen to when I'm wrong, and I know how to effectively apologize. I know how to effectively apologize to the point where I've studied how to effectively apologize.
That's right.
I know that I'm supposed to give that person my full attention, look them in the eye. I'm supposed to tell them I'm sorry. I'm supposed to tell them what it is that I did or why I'm apologizing. I'm supposed to tell them how I'm not going to do it again and how I'm going to show them that I'm not going to do it again. That's putting in work.
It is. Right?
That's taking, when you have some people that can't even do a say, even say I'm sorry without even doing all of those pieces. And right. So that's one thing about the truth. The other thing is, I don't know if people think that they're perfect or what have you. So, like, you can't embarrass me. My brother pulled my scarf off my head when I was about 12 or 13 in the grocery store, ran around and my hair all over the place. I said, that was the last time I'm going to be embarrassed because I couldn't catch that thing, you know? Like, if you can't do anything about it, then, you know, it is what it is. And the other thing I say is, if what someone is saying about me is true, what can I say because it's true? And if what they're saying about me is a lie, what should I say? Because it's a lie.
Right.
That's, you know, but people don't like hearing the truth. And we're in an age where people, you know, one sister told me, she was like, I was like, you know, we can agree to disagree on this, right? Because I like respecting my Facebook friends because I appreciate them thinking enough of me to even follow me and to be my friend on social media, right?
Yeah.
And I say, hey, sister, we can agree to disagree here. No, sis, we're not gonna agree to disagree on here because you should. No.
Right. Like I said, we're gonna agree to disagree.
Exactly. You can't force me to take on your point.
Exactly.
And then the other thing is, you know, I'm retired. No one is adding or subtracting zeros from my account other than myself. So I am free out here. Right. So I'm free. I'm gonna say it exactly how I feel it. I'm not scared of any of these little, you know, cancel culture things that you all have going on.
Don't be afraid of them.
It doesn't mean that I don't care about you, like you, or what, you know, what have you. But yeah. I can disagree with your lifestyle. I can disagree with whatever.
Yeah.
And still be cool with you.
Yeah. And you know what? You have to have, you like, my whole thing is somebody that has made it or, you know, they can offer me some good insight. I can say that maybe in my earlier years, I'd be like, you know, you don't know nothing. But now, you know, I'm like, I take stock and I listen. I'm like, okay, you know, you are offering me some insight on what I could do better or how I can change maybe what it is that I'm doing now and make it even greater. You know, why wouldn't I listen? And I really hate like the cancel culture and everybody gets all upset. You could post something and, you know, maybe get two people that'll like it, but post something that's got some controversy to it. And they'll hop right on there like why don't write? Ridiculous. It really is. Yep. It really is. You know, what's been something that you've accomplished so far that you can say you're super proud of since you, you know, just started working within the community and launching your business?
That I'm super proud of. Man, I really don't do pride like that. I know next month I'm about to buy my mama real nice home in Baton Rouge. So I guess I'll be proud of that. You know, I've always wanted to, you know, do big things like that. Like for, I have my mom, my biological mom, and then I also have adoptive parents that are in Baton Rouge.
Okay. Okay.
And so I'm helping them both out with a home purchase type thing. So that's what I've been living up. I've been waiting to hear, you know, my adoptive dad always saying some crazy stuff. I've been waiting to hear him say, you're not as dumb as I thought you was after all these years.
He's not gonna say it. Not with a good deed like that. Not with a good deed like that. So, you know, a lot of the times with being an entrepreneur, we always talk about the highs, right? But was there any time since you've started up until now that you kind of ran into some challenges that were, you know, they attempted to try to stop you on your way?
Absolutely. So, and I'll give it as a lesson since I'm an educator. A lot of people are on social media talking about quitting their job, right?
Right.
Here's what I would warn against that. Before you do that, mm-hmm. make sure that you utilize your credit effectively.
Correct.
To line up some lines of credit. Don't just use cash on and so forth. I had a major fall down in 2017 where I about lost everything. And okay. that was because when I quit my job, I started doing my real estate transactions with cash.
Okay.
But if you have all of your cash tied up in something and something goes wrong, that's all of you that's on the line.
Exactly.
And then what happened with that is that when the cash dwindled and then I started trying to get the loans, it was like, oh, where are your W-2s? But yeah. I'm not working anymore. I'm an entrepreneur now, right? And
right.
so then I wasn't getting that. So then my credit started getting hit as well.
Okay.
And so I had to build myself up out of that financial hold. And it was depressing. It yeah. was extremely stressful. The thought of you got to a point where you was able to retire and one thing goes wrong and you're on the line for losing it all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so entrepreneurship is no joke. And I mean, it can be brutal. You'll find yourself laid up crying in a fetal position, right?
Oh, yeah. Real tears. Okay.
It's all on you. And so, yes, I've had that. My credit, I'm 45 years old now. My credit has been bad most of the time compared to the times that it has been good.
Yeah.
And so there has been up and down. And so I faced some of all of the things. I came very close to having to file bankruptcy, but I didn't. I've had to deal with refinancing the home because of on the verge of facing foreclosures and things like that. I grew up in poverty. I know how to make an awesome syrup sandwich, right? The best grilled cheese, right?
Okay.
I can make it out of milk crates. I know that if the gas is turned off, I know how to warm my towel up in the microwave and still, you know, so it's been some rough years. And so I try to speak on, and I'm glad you asked that question because it's not all, this is the iceberg that you see at the top. People don't like see that stuff that goes behind the scenes.
That's right. That's right. And it can be very difficult. I mean, I'll be honest, Asada, that was really one of the reasons why I wanted to start this platform. Like everything that I do at the Blueprint Media Company, it is to promote others. I recognized my voice and I said I wanted to you know, help anyone else that I could so that we can all get to the next level. But with this show in particular, with Miss Michi 101, I did want to touch on some of those things because every time I see someone, you know, maybe I haven't seen them in a while, they're like, hey, you know, you're doing it. You've got this going on. You've got that. And little do they know, it's certain weeks that I'm just like, I don't even know how I made it through. I don't know. You
yeah.
know, I'm like, I don't know how this happened. You know, I mean, I know that I put in the work and I did all of those things, but you often see like the smiles, the glitz and glamour, everything. You don't see the work that's really being put
right.
in behind the
right.
scenes.
Yeah, so, and you know the thing, you're bringing a certain amount of money and then it'll all go out trying to promote it and put it back into your business.
That's right. That's right.
You know, that equipment and that stuff that you have, I'm looking at, you know, they don't know. That stuff didn't just pop up there.
No.
You know, you have to pay someone for every single thing. You have to pay for it. But trust me, I know the
problem. And so, it was piece by piece. And I was telling everybody, I was like, last year, you know, between like, they called the stimmies and all of these different things. I was like, I'm going to use those things rather than just go get stuff for myself that I don't really need. I'm going to invest it into the business, you know, and yeah, I created my own studio. I was going and doing brokered radio and all types of stuff. And I was like, you know what? I pay for Aspire right here in my house. I'm going to do it from here, you know, and it works out. But we have to share those stories because
yes.
people need to know that it's not all mm-hmm. sunshine and flowers.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you offer some courses and things. I really wanted to kind of touch on that before I let you go. Can you tell my viewers about just some of the courses and, you know, we already talked about the book. How can they, how can they build themselves up?
Absolutely. The first one, thank you for having the website and all that, theentrevest.com. One of the ones right now on there is the, you know, I love young people. I believe in the power of young people. Our children are geniuses. And so there's a mathematics course on there, Black Math Genius, that's on there. Yes. For the adults and even for the young adults, really don't care what age. The courses that I like on there the most, one, I was able to retire at an early age because mm-hmm. of real estate. So my real estate course is on there. It's not all the glitz and glamour that it needs to charge you $10,000 for. It gets straight to the point, tells you exactly what to do. So my real estate course is on there. Okay. I really, really, really love cryptocurrency right now. And Bitcoin. See the sweatshirt on right now. I'm a Bitcoin. And so my cryptocurrency course, Bitcoin is going to go to 100,000. It's under 40,000 right now. You don't have to buy a whole coin. You can buy $5 worth, $10 worth, whatever. But I give some great options in there. I've helped people to build up some masterful portfolios. Everyone that bought that course and started buying Bitcoin, they started buying when Bitcoin was about $4,000. It's 10 times that amount now. So that cryptocurrency course is awesome. And so everyone that has gotten that course, like I said, they be hitting me up like, wow, I'm glad I did that. Yeah. And then there's another course on there. The third one that I really like is building a 10K a month maintenance program.
Okay.
And basically what that is, like, you don't need any startup calls. Anything I do is nothing with membership. You got to recruit new people and I don't do any of that type of get rich quick type stuff. Okay. Here's your information. If you follow this information, you can build what I have in the program. So that's how I design my courses. You pay one time. Like I said, you know, I'm not hitting you back. I'm not sending out emails all the time to you trying to get you to buy something else. I don't do any of that type of stuff.
You know, a lot of the times it's, I love the fact that you work with Bitcoin because we get so many requests and I had just shared a status about it lately where it just, sometimes when people pop up on there or they add you as a friend, they're like, hey, I've got this Bitcoin farm, you know, and it's just like, they are just immediately trying to get money. And I really love that. Like when cause of course I checked you out before we got, you know, started. And I was like, you know, I was like, it's not pushy. It's like, this is the information. Take advantage of it if you want to. We're moving along, you know, and I love that because it's just like with some people, you don't really know if you can, you know, like trust their financial stuff, but you have lived it. Like you made your stuff and you're trying to teach everybody else. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And what I battle with is because I'd be ready to give it all for free, you know, and coaching everyone else would be like, you can't just give people because then they're always going to take. So I'm trying to find that medium because a lot of times I'll just share the stuff and hit it, especially, you know, I told people to buy this Aave coin a couple of weeks ago and it went from $200 to over $500 from the time that I told them, you know, up until this week. So I don't do the pushy. When people are doing that pushy stuff, that's probably how they're making their money. I make my money off of the things that I'm actually doing. And so also real estate is how I make my money majority. I make my money off of cryptocurrency. I have a large portfolio there. The maintenance program, I was doing that, but now I'm tired of it simply from the point that I don't want to travel and stay in hotels anymore. So I was getting a lot of contracts. I'll do local ones where I can drive. But one of my students who's in Georgia, I'm like, where are you at? She's like, I'm in Georgia. I say, I'll give you my two contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to go to Macon anymore. I was like, here's the information. You know, so I have that type of interaction with my students. But you buy the one course and you're working. And some people, I'll tell them, Michi, you're not ready to buy the course. Because if you buy the course, you're not going to have any more money left to do what you need to do.
Right. Right.
So I don't want people to buy my course and then can't afford to do the things that I'm saying to do, or it's going to be their last amount of money, or if they're not even going to do it. If you're going to buy the course and just let it sit there, don't even buy it.
That's real. Yeah, you got to be ready. I know me personally, like sometimes I'll get information from people aside and I'll be like, okay, I'll be right back. You know, I'll be back to you. And because I go back when I know I can focus on it. Like I got some things that's coming.
And that's what people should do. I've told a few clients, like they bought one course in the second course. I emailed them and say, don't buy another course from me until you do the other two.
Like, that's the email that you're going to get from me.
Yeah, because you just collecting courses at this point.
Are you sending me
questions? Right. Because I got to say, too, what do I want people to do the things that I'm saying, or am I trying to get their money? And I love money. Don't get me wrong here. Okay. Yeah. I love money.
Everybody does.
Exactly. Right. You know, I like it, but I don't want to be taken advantage of people. I don't want numbers just to have numbers sake. I want to see, especially our people, and I'm fine with all people, but I'm Black. So I'm Black first.
Yes.
I want to see us getting out of this mess that we're in as a people.
That's right. That's right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. Look, you didn't drop so many gems for the people today. I want to know, how are you staying motivated with everything you have going on, especially during this pandemic?
That's good. I drink tea every day. I've never had a drink in my life. I never smoked in my life. I don't do anything stronger than tea, really. Okay. I work out. I read. I watch comedy. I watch coonery TV sometimes. You know, yes. I have to watch the sleazy stuff that you don't want people to know about sometime.
There's a lot to watch that I don't want people to know.
Sometimes you don't want to even think. You don't even want to be a part. You just want to watch the worst stuff and not even have to think about why they doing Black people like that. You just want to watch.
I'm like, y'all want to drink? Okay. All right. I'm going to watch it.
Right. You know, I like chocolate. I like my family. I'm married. My mom stays downstairs. I have a peaceful household. I like kids. So, you know, I went and picked up my foster children this weekend. They're over. I have a bunch of nieces. My husband is guarding the door right now so they don't run in on me.
Okay,
you know, I'm just real simple and chill. I don't let too much bother me. If I can't fix it, my mom ran up here one day. It was like, oh my God, I think somebody stole your car, because she had parked the car somewhere else. And okay. I see her getting ready to work out. Was like, and I just put out my telephone and started booking an Uber. What could I do about it? I'm not gonna let it disrupt.
Right, like I gotta go.
I said I go to the gym. I'm going to the gym, you know, so
yeah.
We just have to watch how we respond to stuff and control. You know, I don't try to get hyped up over too much or whatever.
I understand that. Hey, look, you got a great demeanor of how you handle stuff. Oh my goodness. I know that anyone who works with you, that they just absolutely love it, because you're going to give it to them straight.
Yeah, it took some work. Now, I was young once. But I've always given it to him straight, young or what have you. So, but, and that's part of why I said I need to retire, because I don't like listening to people, especially if they, I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
That is funny. So, you know, I want to know, what are some things that we could look forward to, you know, coming up this year, or, you know, maybe some things that you're prepping for next year?
Yeah, so I'm really continuing to do more on the education piece. I'm doing a finance for teens. I'm trying to think of the name right now.
Okay.
To start having them, because college isn't going to be for everyone, and we have different intelligences. Someone may not necessarily be book smart, but they're smart with doing something else.
That's right.
And so I want to create a finance course for young people. I'm doing more as far as property, about to work on a 6-unit. I'll be putting out some flashcards to learn with Freddie from Urban Intellectuals. He does those Black History flashcards.
Yeah. So
he and I will be teaming up on a lot. I like partnerships because I'm able to bring his skill set that I don't have.
Okay.
Along with me doing content, right? And that really kind of takes off. So I really like doing partnerships. And I'm working with his sister out of Dallas as well, to do this startup tech company.
Exciting. That is exciting. Yeah.
A number of things to keep building for the people. Yep.
Okay.
Well, this last one thing, let me tell you this idea. So I met these couple of sisters. They're kind of similar to feel to you are as far as PR, media, and so forth. I said, hey, why can't you all hook me up with one of these entertainers so that we can promote Black intelligence? I said, you know how Cardi B is doing that thing, that new show that she has out, right? She did it with Debbie Allen, like Cardi B Learns or Cardi B Tries.
Why
can't I do something with Cardi B Tries or something? And both of the people was like, because they dumb. They don't want to.
Look, we're going to find somebody to pitch that idea.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. I want to find celebrities promote shoes, clothing, drinks, water. Right. I want a celebrity to promote something Black intellectually. So that's what you got. That's what you got. You got to keep that in mind for me.
You're putting it out in the atmosphere. And if I happen to know of anyone that would, you know, love to be a part of that, you know, I'm gonna send them your way. It's all about building our, you know, we want to build our net worth, but we want to build our network. You know,
that's not my area of expertise as far as the field that you all are in, but I want a celebrity that's down for promoting. Like I do some mathematics problems with them, or I do a history show them some cool tricks, like, you know, multiplying. Like I can do 11 times 27, right? That'll be 297. Doing math tricks quick in your head and different things like that, and promoting Black intellect.
Okay. Well, look, for everyone that's tuning in, you all heard it. So if you got some contacts, okay, make sure that you all send them her way. Asada, before I let you go, let them know how they can follow you and get to the site. Give them all the deets.
Yes. So I'm on Facebook, as you all can see before, LaMelody Moore. It's my personal page as well. And so if you're ready for me, you're ready for me. So you get the personal side of me as well as the business side of me. I'm on Instagram at The Entrevest, and I'm on Twitter as well. Same name. And okay. Only thing I do on Twitter is crypto. So any of those locations. Yep.
Well, I'm really excited. I'm so thankful that you took time out to talk with me today. And, you know, I'm excited for what you're doing. I'm really hoping that with some of the ideas that you have here, that we can see those things really come to fruition, because I mean, you got the right mindset as far as what we need. We don't need geometry or Shakespeare, y'all. We need the wealth education. So, I'm so thankful that you shared that, and just talking about your journey, you know, what you've gone through and, you know, how you've worked within the communities, that's important to the work that you're doing. So I'm so thankful that you shared with me.
Yes, thank you so much. And I really, really appreciate you having me here.
Absolutely. Well, you all know, you can follow me. It's your girl, Miss Michi. I'm on all platforms at Miss Michi. That's MZMETCHI. Make sure that you're following the Blueprint Media Company on Facebook and on Instagram and Twitter at the BP Media Co. And of course, make sure that you're following all of our amazing sponsors. Thank you so much for tuning in. And it's been real. Until next time, you guys. Bye.